gather around.
Get fucking
set! Glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad emotion. My peanut butter chocolate
cake with Word candy, S-L-A-N-G. Thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth.
Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the business. What we're here for. Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Oh, the season has finally come to an end. 1 week is left. It's time to figure out who is going to be taking home our league trophy and who's going to end up doing stand-up. After what was a heart-wrenching, pants-pooping Monday Night Football game, our para-finals are set. In the championship game, Jordan, Team Cooper Cup of Noodles, will be taking on Fronik, Team Street Taco Charlton. Jordan escaped with a win by 2 points over my team. My own Falcons betrayed me for what was just the second time in a whole calendar year, and Fronik ran away with his win over Luke, thanks in large part to Kay Hunt and DeMarco Murray, as well as Luke's wide receivers not really stepping off. Antonio Brown's loss really hurt his chances at a win. In the toilet bowl, really the bigger matchup with a lot more on the line. Scott's team, the Cleveland Hash Browns, is battling Duncan, team Double Decker in Fries, for the third time this season. The two finished tied for last at 3-10. Duncan got one of his three wins against Scott in week six, but then in round one of the playoffs, Scott went off for 154, nearly doubled up Duncan's total. And as always, if you're listening to this podcast and we don't happen to cover a player that's on your team, which is very likely unless you've got an identical team of one of our teams in the Championship League, be sure to tune in to Fantasy Football Today, CBS Sports Radio on 95.3 The Score in Eugene, and online at 95.3thescore.com. Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m., covering everything, actives, inactives, start, sit, daily fantasy rankings if you play that. Tune into that show in the mornings. They will help you out, help you set your lineup, and it's going to be the exact thing you need to make sure that you win your fantasy league, which is, that's all it's important in life, is winning at fantasy. So much is on the line for these two games, and to help go over all of it, we're turning to the rest of the league to talk through the matchups. So next up on the pod, it's you!
So I'm just going to preview real quick. I think between Duncan and Scott, I think I like Scott in this one. It pretty much just comes down to the fact that Scott has like real players on his bench he can put in. Like if he started Javorius Allen, started Greg Olson took out Tariq Cohen, I think his team could actually look really good, and he's got some pretty decent matchups. Other than Marquise Goodwin, he should probably do something about that. He can maybe find someone and just like stream some random receiver. But if that is, I think outside of that, he's got pretty decent matchups across the board. I would probably start a different quarterback other than Derek Carr, but I know Scott's got a deep underlying love for the Carr master. I could see him sticking with him there. Honestly, he just really needs Gurley to score 40 points again, and then I think he'll probably win. So, but hey, maybe David Johnson will come back off IR too. That'd be really cool. God, Scott's team would have been so good if they didn't get hurt. What a shame. And then, yeah, you just look at Duncan's team, and he's pretty much just praying for people to come back from injuries. Falcons insider Rick probably has the update on Tevin Coleman, but I don't know what's going to happen there. He also has Chris Hogan, who might come back, but once again, Buffalo has been pretty okay. I think I don't know. I think Duncan's really one hope here is that Tom Brady kind of just goes off, but I'm not entirely sure that that's going to happen. That Buffalo team still has something to play for. They'll probably come out firing, and who knows? Maybe Brady's kind of sucked in the playoffs and fantasy playoffs recently, so who knows? Maybe that'll keep happening. But I think I got Scooter in this one. Also, thoughts and prayers to you, Rick, for the heartbreaking defeat. Pretty tough to lose when your team doesn't play good, but at least the Falcons won, so you've got that going for you. But Julio, not so bueno. So we got big Frone and big Jardine. Wow, this is going to be quite the close matchup here. Is Jordan really going to roll with Case Keenum again? He has to have a different quarterback. I don't know. This one could go either way. You know, these are two pretty good teams. I don't think anyone really saw this coming at the beginning of the year, but I know, I guess I always liked Jordan's team, but he's kind of surprised he's done better with, like, waiver moves and just kind of roster management than he sort of did with the draft. You know, his team looks pretty different now than it did at the draft. As far as Frone's team, he still has, you know, that guy Kareem Hunt, who everyone thought was trash, all of a sudden is good again and really kind of screwed Luke over last week. And then, you know, Mike Evans showed up to play last week. Kyle Rudolph is a miracle worker and somehow was dead and then alive and then dead and then alive again and scored a touchdown. And so I think, you know, just kind of looking at matchups and stuff, we've got, you know, Melvin going against the Jets is pretty sweet for Jordan. And then you've got, you know, Shady going against New England. You kind of feel like that's, you know, New England always tries to take away the one thing that you're good at. And I feel like they'll probably take away LeSean instead of over Tyrod. That bum AJ Green is still on Jordan's team, I see. So that's probably a mistake. You should probably trade him. You know, I think outside of that, it'll really... Jordan's got some pretty high variance receivers. You know, we've seen what can happen with Diggs. You know, Devontae Adams is definitely a much better play if Rodgers plays again, but no one knows if that's going to happen. He was also mildly concussed slash dead last week, so I don't know if that's going to roll. I'm sure Jordan has another player he could put in there. Jordan will figure it out. He's good at fantasy. He made it here. Yeah, I think, you know, the more I think about it, I think I'm going to go with Jordan in this one, but I think it should be really close. Anyways, hey, happy holidays, gang. Have a good fantasy freak-off, and I'll see you guys later.
First of all, I just want to say congratulations to Jordan and Fronik for making the finals. And commiserations to Duncan and Scott for making the toilet bowl. I'm going to start with that matchup. Obviously, the two worst teams over the whole season, both 3-10. And I think that Scott will win this one, and Duncan will have to do stand-up comedy on the scenario, in the scenario that Scott puts in Greg Olsen over Tariq Cohen and goes with a two tight end train. Basically, because even though I think Tom Brady is better than Derek Carr, Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins will just carry Scott's team. Especially Gurley, he's got a great matchup against Tennessee. So I'm picking Scott. Sorry, Duncan, but it's deserved. I think your team has been the worst over the whole season. So, but we'll see. As for the main championship final, just looking at this matchup, it is incredible how it seems like everybody has amazing matchups and there's just really good players in general. Like Fronik has one guy in the red in terms of matchups, and that is Kyle Rudolph. So this one is really, really hard to pick. And I think I'm going to pick Fronik. I think it's just all those matchups are way too good. And I think Kyle Rudolph might be the difference against Green Bay. I think other than that, it's going to be fairly even down the board. Devontae Adams has a bad matchup against Minnesota. Mike Evans has a tough matchup against Carolina. But other than that, I mean, for most places, it's a wash. So it's really, really tough to pick. But when I was last on the podcast, I said that Fronik was in that top three and Jordan was a little bit behind them, and I'm going to stick with that. So I'm going to pick Fronik to win the championship. And yeah, good luck to you both. Congrats on making it this far. It's been a fun season. And yeah, good luck, guys.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Tim Thompson, Chick-fil-A AJ Green Burrito. Just wanted to say it's been an incredible year here in fantasy football. I think it's been the most fun to pay attention to. Closest matchups, closest records I've ever seen. Went from fighting to stay out of last to a 9-game win streak, which got me into the playoffs. It's been a crazy, crazy year. In terms of the final matchups, the Toilet Bowl, Duncan versus Scott, which is ironically the finals of last year. Pretty crazy. I don't know. I think that Duncan deserves to get last over Scott. Scott's year was kind of derailed by injuries. Duncan just from some bad moves. I think Duncan, if you had not ever made that Antonio Brown trade, and if you had not dropped Marshawn Lynch, I think that would have been enough to get you a couple more wins and keep you out of last. Whereas Scott pretty much did the best he could with the hand he was dealt. I think 2 weeks ago, Scott won by nearly 100 over Duncan. And I think Scott gets the win again. Duncan will remain in last. As far as the finals go, pretty crazy matchup between Jordan and Fronik. I think these two teams have been consistently good all season long. Jordan kind of went down for a bit, but then once playoffs hit, he got hot again. And his team does look pretty scary. Fronik's team obviously has been built through some incredible trades that Nick was able to pull off, as well as picking up Josh Gordon at the last minute. All signs point to Fronik being the best team. I am going to go out on a limb here to try and be different, and I am going to say that Jordan gets the upset and wins the fantasy football of 2017. Giving him the win that he believes he should have had way back when the Naggers stole Dez Bryant, thanks to Pip dropping him. So anyway, I'm picking Jordan. I think it's going to be a crazy close matchup. It's been great being on the pods this year. It's been great playing fantasy football. And hope you all have a great Christmas and Hanukkah, Andrew.
Hey, Rick. Here to talk about some fantasy football. I'm really looking forward to me and Jared's matchup. I've got McCaffrey and Greg Olsen coming on really strong for me in these last few weeks of the playoffs. Oh, shoot. All right, 1 second. Let's start with the Toilet Bowl. I want to get this matchup over with as quickly as possible. I liked Scott's pickups a lot, especially the Chiefs defense, so Duncan has to start. The Titans defense against arguably the best offense in the NFL right now, so that should probably end well for Duncan. I do like Duncan's pickup of Keelan Cole. He should be solid this week, and Duncan has, as we've discussed many times on the pod, no good wide receivers. And also screwed over Jordan, who was, I'm guessing, wanting Keelan Cole pretty badly. So I think Scott's going to win that one. That's all I want to say about that. Good luck on your stand-up, Duncan. Okay, so over to the important one. Obviously, I'm very disappointed that Rick and I are not in this championship, as the highest-scoring teams by, I think, over 100 points over the season, and in my opinion, the two best teams for the whole season, but here we are. Fronik beat me last week, thanks to Pip giving him Hunt, who scored 36 points last week, which was the total amount he scored from weeks 8 through 13 total. So that's pretty sweet. I think Hunt will have another big game against the Dolphins defense that's terrible against the run. Baldwin and Larry Fitz have great matchups. Evans and Gordon should be solid as the number one targets in their offense. McCoy obviously is a stud. He's not as great on the road as he is at home, but he'll still be great against the not very good Pats defense. Fronik just has really good matchups all across the board. And looking over Jordan's team, Jordan snuck into the playoffs the championship thanks to Julio and Matt Ryan going full Falcon. Get it, Rick, because they play for the Falcons.
Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! His fifth! What a comeback!
Jordan takes a big hit if Devontae Adams is out. and he's forced to start Jaden Mickens, who I've never heard of before about 3 days ago. Overall, this is a super close matchup, but I'm going to have to go with Fronik to join the Semi-Products Ring of Honor. Congrats, Fronik. And hopefully you send over some money to Pip to thank him for Mike Evans and Kareem Hunt. Also, shout out to Ezekiel Elliott. Welcome back. Right on time.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Rick. I'm going to keep my segment short and sweet. I just want to say we have Philip Ambler to thank for getting Fronik this far in the season. Good job with that trade, Philip. Real good job. Now Fronik is poised to win the Ramron Cup and the fantasy season this year. All thanks to you. And Rick, we actually have you to thank for getting Jordan this far in the season. Maybe you should start playing quarterbacks that are objectively better than Matt Ryan. Food for thought. But on to the matchup itself. I'm going to boil this down to one player. I know it's more complicated than that, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to boil this down to one player. And that's our boy Kareem Hunt. He's had a pretty crazy season, a lot of ups and downs. At this point, I think we all know he's boom or bust. And Creamy Boy boomed last week. I don't think he can keep that type of performance up weeks in a row, so I think he's in a good position to bust. And that's good for Jordan. Jordan, I'm rooting for you. I hope Creamy Boy does bust. And if he does, I think you're in a good shape to win. And if he booms, I think you're toast. I really do think that's going to be what it boils down to. Kareem Hunt's going to be the huge factor to watch. And on to the other matchup. I don't want to get too into shitting on Duncan. I'm sure plenty of the guys are going to do that on their segments. I just want to say good luck to you both. However this turns up, it's going to be some funny stand-up, Scott or Duncan. I think I'm picking Scott, but Duncan, I have no ill will towards you. That's going to be just as fun to watch as the championship. Thanks, Rick. Think about playing different quarterbacks. Might help you out. Okay, bye.
Hey, boys. This is Jared. We'll start with the championship game between Jordan and Fronik. I think we should all be lucky to see such a closely matched game. Be interesting to hear what everyone else says about it, because they're just really evenly matched. Not to dive too deep into it, because I'm sure I know everyone else has looked at it, but what I see here is Davante Adams for Jordan. Now that Rodgers isn't playing, I think we'll hold him back pretty significantly, and if AJ Green doesn't have a good day, I just don't see where he can make up the points against Fronik if he has Kareem Hunt and Drew Brees go off. I don't know. I just, looking at matchups, I'm gonna take Fronik in this one, not by much, but overall, I think he just has less question marks. He's gonna need a big game from Mike Evans. He's gonna need Kyle Rudolph to play, even though he's questionable. And same with Shady. Overall, I think Fronik has the advantage. So we'll see how that plays out, though. Looking over at the see who's going to do stand-up for. It's pretty simple. Unless Tom Brady goes off for 45 and the majority of those touchdowns are thrown to Chris Hogan, there's just no way that Duncan can match the points of Scott having Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins right now, who are both just slaughtering. Thanks, Scott, for putting in Greg Olsen into your lineup. That's exciting. So I don't really see too much else in that matchup. I think it's pretty straightforward. Still, it will be interesting to watch and see what happens, though. You never know. So just to reiterate, I think I'll take Fronik for the championship game, mainly because of Davante Adams versus a hot Kareem Hunt. And then for Scott and Duncan, just too much from Todd Gurley and from DeAndre Hopkins. So interested to hear what everyone else has to say. It's been another great year. I'm already looking forward to next year. That's pretty much it. Bye from Seattle.
Hey guys, there's nothing I can add
to the pod that hasn't already been said, so I'm just going to make this really short. As far as the toilet bowl goes, I think Scott has the much better team and is going to beat Duncan, mainly because he has two players on his bench projected to get 6.9, and Duncan only has one. As far as the championship game goes, it's such a toss-up. I really think it's going to come down to wide receiver play. Pretty even on quarterback, on running back, on basically everything else. Whoever's wide receiver, and probably whoever's like second and third wide receiver, can do a little bit better. Looking at it right now, I think that might be Fronik, just by the numbers. But any of the guys on Jordan's team can go off. Obviously, a little bit tough with Aaron Rodgers being out, but Evans, Baldwin, Fitz, any of those guys could bust on any given day. I think Fronik's going to come away with it. It's going to be close, but if he wins the Ramron Cup and beats Cooper Cup and Noodles, I think he's in a good spot regarding cups. So drink one, Fronik. I say you're going to win. Bye, guys.
Now that we've heard from everybody not in a championship game, let's go ahead and turn things over to the two in the toilet bowl.
Well, my thoughts are fuck it, because I haven't hated the Pittsburgh Steelers any more than I thought I could have already. But if they'd just gone for a field goal, I wouldn't be in this situation. So going forward, I leave it up to the big man upstairs, you know what I mean? I don't have much to say. It's a disappointing season. I think Scott's going to take this one, and I guess I have a year to plan my stand-up. So that's my take. My players are hurt. Team is shit. Not looking good. But hopefully the stand-up's better than my year, but we'll see.
Hey everybody, this is Sports Talk with Scott on 106.9 The Hog. Wow, what a crazy season this was. A lot of ups and a lot of downs for everyone. Mostly downs for my team, but what can you do? Boobs, we've got a bunch of stuff lined up for you today. Some season review, predictions, thoughts and concerns about the toilet bowl, and last but not least, predictions for the championship. Penis. Not going to lie, my bitch ass does not want to be playing Duncan in the toilet bowl. I should have tanked like I joked about a couple weeks ago. I super don't have any confidence at this point that I will play the right people, and Duncan probably will hoop me by 50. Oh well. Maybe Derek Carr will throw for 400 yards and 4 TDs. End the year with some hope for the future, you know. Go Las Vegas Raiders. I win and Marquise Goodwin scores 30 points. Poop. If I lose, I am looking forward to the 9 months of anxiety leading up to the draft weekend. It will be like a sort of pregnancy, and you guys are all the baby daddies. But seriously, I really don't want to do it. Please don't make me. This whole season, I never once thought I would be in the toilet bowl, no matter how bad it got. But here we are. Wanker, congrats to Jordan and Fronik on getting to the top of the figurative mountain. We are rooting for both of you to lose and to get our money back. Am I right, boys? Jordan, you hairy swamp ape, your soggy ass team is actually pretty good. That trade for Drake was important, IMO. Your running backs are dope, but so are Fronik's. Also, wow, we all knew Case Keenum would be on the championship team. Both teams have sick-ass wide receivers. If AJ Green shows up and Jared Cook scores, Jordan wins. Otherwise, Fronik is your new champion. Fronik then becomes undisputed alpha of the group. However, bottom line, my pick is Jordan because I think it's fun to root for Case Keenum, and I am bitter Fronik picked up the Jags DEI after I dropped them. Well guys, thanks for your time, it was nice. Merry Christmas to all, please have a blessed holiday. Except you, Mike. Your team sucked and I could easily destroy you in the ring. Or in the street. You would stand no chance, you are a beta and your penis is substantially below average. Also, Singapore is the butthole of Southeast Asia. Suck me arse. Dilly dilly mofos.
Thank you, Scott, for that. That was amazing. That's one of the best things you've ever done. I would just like to clear my name a little bit, if I can, about my trade. Everyone's saying, obviously, if I had started Alex Smith last week, yes, I would have won. I would have beat Jordan. I'm taking it back a whole nother step if I don't even make the trade for Matt Ryan. I still would have lost. I would have gotten +3 from Alex Smith, but Thielen only put up 4.5 points while Thomas put up 9.4 points. So I still would have lost by 5 anyways, even if I didn't make the trade and had any faith at all in Alex Smith, which I still think it's fucking dumb that you should assume that you would have faith in Alex Smith in anything other than a checkdown. So time for picks. If you're keeping track at home, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8. Everyone so far has picked Scott in the toilet bowl. You know what? Let's go 9 for 9. 9 people so far. I'm throwing myself in there. I know last week I power ranked Scott number 1 most likely to end up doing stand-up because I said Gurley and Hopkins wouldn't be enough. Last week they weren't enough, but what Gurley did was absolutely amazing. The Rams are going to ride him probably to an NFC Championship game appearance. Don't hold me down to that. I know I said last week they weren't enough. It's not like I've ever been wrong about that before, like with Josh Gordon or anything. Never done that. So 9 for 9 picking Scott. And then as well, over in our championship game so far, a lot more contested. Jordan actually receiving votes, so that's something. He's got 1, 2, 3 so far. Mike, however, rooting for Jordan, so kind of a half pick, so 3.5 there. And then Fronik with 1, 2, 3... for 5 votes. Duncan not giving a pick in that one in his quick synopsis. I've listened to what everybody else has been saying about it, and I'm trying to work out on my own what I think is going to happen. Jordan's pickups help getting a couple wide receivers in there. I don't have a lot of faith that Devontae is going to play. If he plays, he's a great play. I'm just not buying it. I think I've got to go with Fronik. McCoy has become like a stud in the playoffs so far with the weeks that he's had. Evans is coming around. Fitz is still a target machine, and the Giants' defense is pretty bad. The Jags' D as well against the Niners, which, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is good, but, you know, he's no Alex Smith or Matt Ryan, if I'm honest. So tally another one up for Fronik, which leaves 2 people left. The 2 people in the championship game, that's right now. Well, now that we've heard from most everyone in the league, it's time to hear from the 2 finalists we have on the pod now. Jordan, Team Cooper Cup of Noodles and Street Taco Charlton. Fronik is back in studio. Jordan is on Skype. So welcome back to the pod and welcome to the championship game, guys.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
What up?
So just what everybody kind of knows what we're looking at. Fronik is directly across from me, and it's in studio like normal. Jordan, for the Skype call, accepted a video call, so I can see his reaction to everything, which is nice because I haven't been able to do that on the past 2 Skype calls. He didn't know not to accept a video call and just to do a regular one, so he's looking at my stupid Skype avatar, and then I get to see Jordan's reaction to everything. So this is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, at least you can know how bored I look when I'm doing the podcast normally.
Yeah, that's true.
JK.
Except when you're talking about
I didn't know
Dan
I was supposed
Bees.
To just accept the audio. I didn't know. Skype is a video platform, so that's what I'm going to do. I was like, we're all going to hang out, and I'm going to get to see Rick and Fronik, and we're all going to be like we're in the same room. But now you guys just get to watch me laugh and cry and – you know, show all the emotions on my face as we do this. So
sorry, Jordan. It's gonna be
a week full of emotions. I'll tell you that much.
This is not gonna be. This is not gonna be like what's that guy's name? Souk. Is that what they call him? The radio guy. They always Souk, and there's another guy on there.
Oh yeah.
On CSN, right? Yeah.
All right. Enough about that.
This is our simulcast. You got to release the video afterwards. We got a DirecTV deal.
Okay. Sure. Let's get to this matchup, and I want to start before the draft driving down
Actually, the three of us that are on, and then Tim, we were all in the car together driving down to the draft. Did you think driving down or driving back home, really, after the draft, that all four of us would make the playoffs, and that one half of the four of us would actually end up in the final?
No, I didn't think that, but I was hoping for that in an ideal world, because I thought, you know, if I was going to meet anybody in the finals, God willing, if I was going to make it to the finals, I was going to meet Jordan, because that slew of wide receivers that he had after draft week, and we all were just blown away at how did Jordan get a team like this? How did we allow him to get AJ Green and all those other players? Jordan?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm here. So, I mean, after the draft, I would have said, I don't know. I thought that I had definitely a good enough team to be in the championship. There's times during the season that I for sure thought that I was falling apart and wasn't going to make it. But like right after the draft, after we were driving back, I don't know. I think I was more confident in my team than you two were. And now it's like, Fronik, you got the best team probably in the league. I feel like most people will probably be picking you to win. I don't know that, but I guess we'll listen back and hear. I know that everybody else already heard what, you know, the other 10 members thought, but, yeah, I don't know. And Rick, you were pretty critical of your team, I think, coming out of the draft. I don't know. So it's hard to know, but,
I could have
obviously you had the best team like throughout the season. You just lost to me last week. Like that's just the way it goes. But
I could have had the first 12 picks in the draft and had a super team and still thought my team was going to suck, to be honest.
Like that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Pessimist. King of pessimism.
King of being a downer about his team.
But to be honest though, how incredible was that three of the four made the semis and then all four of us made the playoffs and actually had, we were all top five seeds?
Yeah, top five.
So, I mean, that's pretty incredible
not bad.
Okay, Jordan.
It's like a Drake song or something. I'm not going to come on this show and not do some dumb rap lyrics that I'm not positive who the artist is. That's just part of
How you do it. Yeah.
I don't think you could be talking to people that know less about rap in this group than the two of us.
I mean,
Fronik, give us some. Fronik, you gotta start repeating like death metal lyrics. Like when we reference a death metal song, are you like,
everyone aboard.
Yeah.
Sorry, not gonna
include
that.
You gotta drop those
in
on us.
No.
What were the? Let's get back to fantasy football here. What were the? I'm not doing talking death metal. I am not doing talking death metal on this podcast. Ooh. Jordan, you were talking to me most of the weekend.
Hold on.
Oh my god! Stop! Please stop! Okay,
here's
your
the
mic's
thing.
Off. You're is done.
I was thinking before I came on here. I was like, dude, I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to the championship because I wasn't ready to come on the show. I'm not going to come with a bunch of BS prepared that's not fantasy football related. Like, I'm just going to have to talk fantasy football, and I was so upset about that. So I'm glad we're getting a little bit of this, other stuff in before we dive into it.
That's like a must with you, though. Every time you come on the radio or come on the pod,
that's what I'm saying.
You have like 10 minutes of warm-up to talk shit.
I know. That's why I was upset that I won last week.
Yeah, it's a real bummer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I hate to have to come on such. I was going to win on Monday, so I'm bummed that I won that game. That was so dumb.
Yeah, sure was. Sure was. So Scott and Duncan are in the toilet bowl, and last year they were in the championship match. Are you guys worried there is a curse and you will both go from foist to hoist?
No. I don't think I'm going to make as many bad decisions as Duncan made in a row consecutively from August to December. So no. Not going to say I'm not going to be like middling next year, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it. I don't know what to say. I think everybody was a little shocked when Duncan and Scott both made it last year. So, I don't know. I hope people don't feel the same way about Vronik and I, but
yeah, I mean, I feel like we're both consistent. I feel like me and Jordan are both consistently, Jordan more so than I, but in fantasy football, making the playoffs at least, and being
You're always average at least. That's
I'm always like usually like seven wins.
Even Rick, yeah.
Thanks.
So
we're both just average.
Tim's got us beat. Let's get to the
match. Average.
So to the matchups now, which player on your team worries you the most and which player on your team are you worried about? Or no, I need to start over again. I need to start. We'll edit that part out.
Put that in.
Which,
I want that take.
To the matchups now, which player on the other team worries on your opponent's team worries you the most? And then which player on your team are you worried about the most? So who do you think is going to go off and who do you think might put up a dud? Let's start with Fronik.
Starting with Jordan's team, I know I'm kind of breaking the rule of one. Basically, just kind of the combo of Keenum and Diggs with Minnesota going against Green Bay's defense. Green Bay's out of the playoffs. Their pass defense has been terrible all year long anyway. Diggs hasn't been doing too great as Thielen's been kind of a target monster, but you never know because those deep pass plays, I think the Packers are pretty terrible at. So, like bottom five is what I'm thinking. And so that combination scares me. That game's just going to be huge in general, I think, going forward for that matchup because it's Saturday night with Keenum, Diggs, and I've got Rudolph in that game as well. So we'll see how that goes. And then for my team, probably a dud. I don't know. Maybe Breeze. But I'm hoping that game's kind of high scoring and kind of a, you know, tie game, or maybe they're down, hopefully. So Breeze has to bring them back or something like that. Because usually when they're in a neutral game or positive or negative game script, they're usually passing a lot. So, I think that's probably my dud for the week. Maybe the Jags defense against Garoppolo, but I doubt that.
Jimmy G.
Dude, true believer in Jimmy G. I feel that.
Yeah. I think the Jags D is probably going to be fine, I would say.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm just hoping, play. Well, when I say a dud for the Jags D, I'm like thinking like less than 10, you know, like maybe 9 or 8. So
right.
We'll see.
Yeah,
what about you? What about you, Jordan?
I mean, I think it's probably a pretty clear choice. This player I'm most scared of is Kareem Hunt. I mean, I kind of came out on the pod and spoke, you know, negatively towards Hunt, and I was kind of believing in the, you know, Hunt's on a decline, Kansas City's offense has fallen off, this and that. I even said start Marshawn over Kareem Hunt, which, Fronik, you did end up doing. I don't think it cost you the game, but...
No, but fun fact, though, I was already thinking about Marshawn, switching Marshawn with Kareem Hunt. And the only reason I know that week that I did, I think it was round one against Mike.
Right.
And the only reason I didn't was because I was a true believer in Josh Gordon. I thought about, or the only reason I didn't put Hunt back in too was because I was a true believer in Josh Gordon that week. So, I'm totally behind you on the Hunt train though.
Yeah. So I mean, just seeing the performance that he put up last week against the Chargers, who have a pretty good defense. Like, I'm clearly pretty scared. I mean, he could easily put up another like 3-touchdown performance. They're playing at home against Miami. They're kind of still jostling for playoff position. You know, they could take a commanding lead in the AFC West, and you know, even fight for, I mean, maybe that 2 seed in the AFC. I haven't really looked at how it plays out, but with Antonio Brown out, they could win out and still, I think, conceivably be up there. So Kansas City could really, really go off again this week. Miami has the 28th ranked run defense in the league. And so seeing Kareem Hunt put up 36 against a good defense last week, I think Kansas City's kind of in like, we have to lay it down. We got to, you know, feed our best players. Like, they, I don't know what it is, but they brought the game plan back that we saw at the beginning of the season, whatever that was. I really don't even know what the difference has been,
Kareem Hunt the ball. That's the point.
Yeah.
He's had 31 touches and 28 touches in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, There you go.
When that, I think 3 weeks ago, he touched the ball like 10 times.
Yeah, he had an average of like 10 carries of the 4 weeks before. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, you can see, I don't know, he produces when he gets the ball, and he's obviously a dynamic player, so I'm super, super scared of Kareem Hunt going off again. It seems like an easy choice, but that's the truth. That's who I'm scared of. As far as my team goes, you know, for a potential dud, I feel really good about my running back, so I think a dud, an obvious dud, could be my wide receiver 3 spot, because Devontae Adams might not play with a concussion. But since I don't know who that player is going to be yet, we're recording this on Tuesday, obviously, before waivers clear. I would say the player that I'm most worried about, well, I mean, I'm going to have to try to pick up a receiver, spoiler alert. Probably try to pick somebody up. I just don't know that Devontae is going to play, and I don't have anything else. So as far as players currently on my team, I'm scared that AJ Green is going to have another bad game. It was so frustrating. I mean, watching him catch 2 passes last week when I really, really needed some production out of, you know, a guy that you expect to get production out of. Obviously, he was going against Xavier Rhodes last week in Minnesota, so that's tough. Cincinnati's offense is just so bad that they can't get enough going to give AJ Green any opportunities. Dalton can't even get him the ball when he is open, so it's really bad. And they're playing against Detroit this week, who has had a pretty good pass defense. Why am I blanking right now? What's the really good corner in Detroit? What's his name?
Darius Slay,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of worried that Slay is just going to shadow Green, and it could be really similar to the game last week where he got shadowed by Rhodes. You just hope that since he can move the ball a little bit better on Detroit and maybe get some red zone opportunities. So I'm definitely worried that AJ Green is going to have another bad game.
Yeah, I would say you're right on kind of with that AJ Green, just because looking forward. A couple weeks ago, I was seeing that he was going to be matched up with Xavier Rhodes and Darius Slay in 2 consecutive weeks. So that was not looking pretty for AJ Green. And then funny thing is Gordon and Howard don't have great matchups either. I know Cleveland's Cleveland. So hopefully you hope, you know, that the Bears are up for, you know, half the game at least, like by a good margin, and so they just run the ball all day.
Yeah, I see what you're saying on that. Those are both Melvin Gordon playing against the Jets and Howard playing against Cleveland. Those are both sneaky, solid run defenses. But the good thing on my end, I know what you're saying on that, but I was looking at those matchups. It's just the volume. I mean, I think they're both going to have really good games. Chargers should go out big on New York and just pound the rock. And then the Bears, it's a weird situation with the Bears where it's almost not even dependent on how good the defense is. It's just can the Bears stay in the game enough where they don't completely abandon the run and keep Tariq Cohen in the game? You know, anytime they've played against somewhat bad teams, it's like the times that that Howard has been able to get carries, and you know they've been able to pound the rock. So they just—it's more important to me that he sort of stays in the game. You know, they stay giving him volume because he can produce. So I think I see what you're saying on that, but I think I'm going to be okay on that. So I don't think either of them are going to be duds. How big a game they put up.
Well, yeah, I think your running backs are probably the least of your worries, but at the same time,
yeah,
you know, I can see where that would scare you, you know, because you would need to depend on them to probably get you, you know, 15 points each.
Easily, and you, if not more, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to be, what's the word? I'm blanking on that, but...
conservative?
Yeah, whatever.
You're trying to be a conservative?
Yeah, it's a conservative call. Yeah. Right? So, yeah, I mean, Drake, I mean, you've just got a nice running back list, especially with Kenyon Drake, and you've also got Latavius, too, who's actually been putting up some points, like, every other week, it seems like, so.
Yeah.
Sucks you couldn't somehow make a trade or whatever, but that's why we have the trade deadline, so I like that.
Yeah, so looking at the previews here, it looks like the projections, which are early on a Tuesday, like we said, everything is mostly like the biggest gap, I think, is like 2 points if you take away the defense, which Jags are projected 9, Saints 4. Everything else is within 2 points at the most or something like that. Who do you think is going to be the biggest difference maker in this matchup? Like, you think if this guy, his matchup is the biggest key? Jordan, we'll start with you.
Oh, you asking for my team?
Yes.
Yeah, of course I could pick my Minnesota players, like Fronik said, you know, Keenum and Diggs at Green Bay. The only thing is, tip you off, because it doesn't really make any difference that you guys know, but I'm considering playing Jared Goff against Tennessee at quarterback instead of Keenum. Of course, the double dip is fun, but Goff's matchup against Tennessee is pretty tasty too. So it's not for sure that I'm playing Keenum, so I don't want to pick that double dip. So I think for me, I think the player that could make the difference for me, I'm going to say Kenyon Drake. I've been so excited about him the last couple of weeks. He really came out of nowhere once he started getting volume, and he's looking like a, you know, probably like a top 10 player or so. He's playing Kansas City, who's a pretty good defense, but they've been feeding him. He's shown the ability to put a, you know, to break big plays off. So, you know, he's the type of guy that could easily go for like 30 points if he just rips a couple of huge runs off.
That drive at the end of the game where they went to him like 3 or 4 times in a row against Buffalo was just fucking demoralizing. Like, I hated that so much, just watching him like rack up like catch after catch after catch. And it just, like, that was of the things that happened to me on Sunday, that was probably like top 3 of the worst things that happened.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, like, you texted me about that right after that drive happened. It's like, Kenyon Drake garbage time, 5 catches on 1 drive. Like, this is killing me. And I was going, yeah, that's great. Like, that's what they're doing. He's a good pass catcher, whatever. And we didn't make that much of it. But, dude, if that drive hadn't happened, I wouldn't have won. Like, that's the difference. And, you know, of course, when you play a game like that, you can always go back and go, oh, if this player didn't catch 1 touchdown. But,
I mean,
when you can point to something, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, he only had 6 catches and 5 came on that drive. So, I mean, that's,
yeah.
I mean, like 30 yards, I mean, 3 points and then 3 catches, you know, or, you know, yeah, 3 catches on that drive for the 5 or whatever. I mean, that would have swung the matchup. So,
yeah, pretty crazy to think about those.
Fuck you, Jay Cutler.
If he gets just 5 catches and 0 yards on all those catches, he still like is the difference maker. Just the 2.5 points.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I mean, many people get catches for 0 yards.
No, I'm just often. Yeah, I'm just being dramatic on that. So. You know me.
Let's think about exactly how many yards he would have had to get along with his catches on that drive to
-2. Negative
can
2.
Somebody
yards.
Do that calculation. Hey, Rick, can you get the producers to do that calculation? You guys got interns in the studio, right?
Yeah, I would love to definitely think more about our matchup from last week, Jordan. That would be great. Hey,
get the intern that you just hate the most. That one intern that just really grinds your gears, and make them do that calculation for us, please.
So, I got a question for you, Jordan. So, you're going to for sure start the Redskins defense then against Denver?
I don't know. It's either them or I like Pat's D at home against Buffalo. I liked them more before Tyrod was really good again.
Yeah.
I liked them more when Nathan Peterman was the starting quarterback, yeah. the Pete man himself.
Gosh, that guy sucks.
So I don't know. I think the Redskins are the best option I have. I know Denver went off last week, but that's just because the Colts are garbage. So
yeah, I mean, I would agree. I was just, when I saw that this morning that you hadn't moved the Saints, I figured, you know, you'd move them out as soon as possible. But
yeah,
I was thinking you would probably start the Redskins defense because that's what I would do, to be honest.
Yeah.
Fronik, who's your difference maker in the matchup? Who's the guy that if he has a big game, you think that's going to be key to victory for you?
Well, you kind of expect McCoy and Hunt to have at least pretty solid matchups. So I'm going to go with one of my wide receivers, probably Mike Evans or Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin's going to be going against Dallas. Hopefully it's kind of a, you know, even game. He's been struggling. Well, in tandem with that Seahawks offense, except for when they played the Jags, which was confusing. But yeah, Baldwin's not been that great, but at the same time, Dallas hasn't allowed a rushing touchdown in four games, so they'll probably have to pass a lot more. I mean, even if they wanted to somehow slow down the game and, you know, run Mike Davis, which is not what the Seahawks have been doing. So I think if Baldwin can have a big game, I think that could be an X factor for me. Because Fitzgerald's got a good matchup, and he just, you know, gets targets for days. So
yeah, Baldwin has been injured. He peaked at 5 receptions against Philly, but I mean, going back to week 11, he's had 2, 2, 5, 3, and 1 for receptions.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, somehow with 2 and 3 receptions, like, managed to get double-digit points. His 15 against Jacksonville was, like, the sneakiest, worst 15 points ever, just because it came, like, in garbage time. Like, he just caught 2 huge deep balls and then 1 in the end zone. It was just, like, 0 to... Because he didn't have any receptions before, like, the third quarter, so it came out of nowhere.
Like, yeah, he had, like... 2 catches, I think, on that drive, and one of them was the touchdown, and one of them was like a 43-yarder or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he had another catch in the fourth quarter, because that was in the third quarter that he got the touchdown, I believe. And then, yeah, the Seahawks had 2 60-plus-yard touchdowns. So,
What NFL game do you think is going to have the biggest impact on your matchup? Because, Fronik, you've got... Seattle, Dallas kind of involved a couple times in there. Jordan, definitely Green Bay, Minnesota, especially if you're playing Keenum. Who do you guys, what NFL game are you going to be keeping your eye on the most?
For me, maybe, I don't know. That's kind of tough because I was at first coming into this matchup, I was thinking, you know, Green Bay and Minnesota would be a big deal because, you know, if he's going to start Keenum. But if he's not going to start Keenum, then I would lean the Miami and Kansas City matchup between the two stud running backs of Hunt and Kenyon Drake. So that's what I would probably put my money on, especially if he ends up going the Goff route.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. Again, me saying Jared Goff, I really don't know. I'm back and forth in it between Keenum and Goff. And that being said, even one more player in the Green Bay Minnesota game, Davante Adams, I'm not positive that I'm going to play him. So I think I agree. I was just going to say the same thing as Fronik. I think that I know it's only 2 players and it kind of sounds crazy, but yeah, that Miami-Kansas City game could be really huge. I mean, again, we talked about Kenyon Drake already, and we talked about Kareem Hunt already. But if one of those running backs has one of their blow-up games, the 30-point games, and then the other one has like, you know, a seven-point game or something like that, that's the difference. And I think either player has the potential to go either way. So I kind of agree. I think that's kind of if you're watching one game, that's sort of the matchup that's going to have the most effect.
Now, the other thing, though, too, is you could almost argue against that just because they both get such high volume and they're, you know, other than Akeem Hunt kind of stealing a couple, you know, pass catching, like third down catches, plays, whatever. Kareem usually gets, you know, a lot of the passing down work, too. So we'll see. But, you know, say Miami somehow is up by 3 touchdowns, then maybe that affects it because they want to get Charkandrick West and, you know, and getting the pass catching running back. But it's not like Kareem's bad at catching the ball. So I don't know. We'll see the high volume. We'll see what that high volume running back matchup does. So
my favorite question to ask is always, why do you think the other team is going to win? So we'll do both why the other team is going to win and why you think you're going to win. Jordan, I think as the lower seeded team, we'll have you go first in this one. We'll start with why you think Fronik is going to win this matchup.
Dude, this is why I wish I had played better in the regular season, is so that I could just go second in this question, because it's like you get to be the lower seed, and this is like playing on an away turf. Like, he gets to hear all my answers first. He gets the home field.
Okay, Fronik, step out of the studio second. Then. Just stand in the... Okay.
Bye, Fronik.
Bye, dude. See ya.
See ya. Nice talking.
Okay, I'll turn off his mic so then he can't hear you. That's how that works.
Yeah, turn off his mic.
No, that's
unplug his headphones, please. Yeah. Okay, why am I going to lose?
Yes, that's the first question.
That's not a very, like, I don't want to think negatively like that. I don't want to bring negative thoughts into this.
You started off by saying
that
you wish you had lost because you weren't expecting to be on this week. Come on, man.
Oh, I'm a little, I got a lot of mood swings, Rick. You got to learn that about me. I think that I would lose this game because Fronik has an incredibly good roster top to bottom. I'm a huge fan of teams not just relying on one or two players to get it done for them. That's kind of how I tried to build my roster this season with a lot of my moves. You know, I've had a really deep team all year, and I've been trying to, you know, get really solid at every year. Injuries and a couple things have made that not happen. So I think Fronik has had the best, you know, whatever, 1 through 10 players in the league for probably the majority of the year, other than, you know, maybe a few weeks, Rick, where you, I would have picked you, but then you know, made a couple trades and did this and that. Anyways.
It's not about me right now, Jordan.
We can always make it about you losing, right?
Please don't, though.
Okay.
The loss from yesterday is still so very fresh, like, in my mind, that I would like to move on from it as quickly as possible.
It's still open wound?
Yes.
Mind if I pour a little salt in there?
Oh, yeah. Feel free, please. Can you throw in a Super Bowl joke, too?
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. You remember... Okay, listen. This is not going to be what you expect, though, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
You remember in... it was like earlier in this. Let me set the scene.
Okay.
It's 2017.
Wow. What a year.
And it's like February ish.
Oh, wow. Around my birthday. That's a great time of year.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday. It's a fun time. Yeah. What a time. Wow. And then,
alive.
Okay, there's
that,
this. There's these guys.
Yeah.
There's a group of like 11 guys on a yard field area, and they're called the Atlanta Falcons.
Is it a
and
circle field?
And then they went and blew a 28-3 lead against New England Patriots, who extended their dynasty and gave Tom Brady another ring, and might have destroyed the Atlanta Falcons franchise for all of eternity.
Wow.
You remember that at all?
That would be so embarrassing if you were a Falcons fan to have to go through that and live with that forever, knowing that your team blew the biggest lead in Super Bowl history. Idiots. All right, off the negatives,
yeah.
Then, since you don't want to talk negatives, why are you going to win, Jordan?
Oh, I'm going to go first in this one, too.
Yeah, it's one question.
I think I could win this matchup because I have three completely baller running backs. I kind of talked about it earlier. I'm not going to go all in and say my running backs are all going to dominate, but... Besides having a complete roster, the main thing that I thought going into the playoffs, when I knew I had a chance to just go into the playoffs and I had a good feeling that I was going to make it and, you know, could kind of quit worrying about all that, is I need to bolster my running back situation. I need to have the best, you know, run it, the best three running backs in the league when you count the guy that I'm playing at flex. And Fronik's two running backs are really good, but you know, running back is always the most stable position in fantasy. And I think I have three guys in there that are probably top 10 type of plays this week, in my opinion. So I think all those guys have the potential to go over 20 this week. That's not to say they will, but that's what I built my team around. And I think they could all carry me to a victory. So, yeah.
All right, Fronik, while we're talking about Jordan's team, why does Jordan's team beat you?
His three stable running backs. No, I've always thought that Jordan had actually probably the best wide receiving core throughout the whole year. It probably evened out once we all kind of realized that Thielen and Cooks were actually doing really well too. And Thielen had just continued to have the year that he did. But Melvin Gordon and Jordan Howard both have just amazing volume, and now so does Kenyon Drake because Damian Williams is out. And they all three have the potential to go off for 20. And then, you know, you've got the playmakers of A.J. Green and Stephon Diggs, you know, with that, you know, three running backs. And, you know, that's a very good stable five, I'd say. But luckily for me, Stephon Diggs has not been too great lately. So we'll see how that goes going forward. But Davante Adams has been treated and has actually played like a wide receiver one for Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for me, they just announced that Aaron Rodgers is out for the rest of the season. So we'll see how that goes. But he was still getting a lot of volumes when Hundley was playing. So I'd say if those three running backs can get him 20 and say the rest of his roster gets him 60, I feel like he's got a good shot of beating me. Redskins defense, they could, they could.
The R words.
Yeah, sorry. The R words. The Washington R words. Could do really well against Denver. We'll see what's going to happen with that quarterback situation because they're thinking about starting out Paxton Lynch, and he was just god awful. So we'll see. We'll see how Denver's offense implodes against the Redskins defense. So, and then he's got a good stable kicker in Gostkowski. So, he's got a good shot. I think it's going to be a very even matchup. I'm really excited. It's going to be kind of scary because it's going to come down to Christmas. Technically, I guess, if he starts Jared Cook. So, if it's close between either of us and he's got to rely on Jared Cook, it's going to be kind of a gut-wrenching, Christmas, which is going to be kind of sucky. But at the same time, we're both in the finals, so not much to complain.
All right, and your team, why do you win?
So all season long, I've kind of been focusing on matchups towards the playoffs and kind of towards the end of the season. So this week, I think I have 9 of my 10 players are all in the green.
Yep.
And if you look at it, I think...
Even on your bench, your only other red is Marshawn. So you got 2 guys in the red, and they're like...
Yep.
They are deep reds, and everything else is like a... would be a solid green, basically.
Well, and the thing, too, is that 10th player, which is Rudolph on my starting lineup, he's going against Green Bay, who's actually been the 4th worst against tight ends over the past 6 weeks. So, and he's also gotten 5 touchdowns, I think, or 4 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So,
Barón Fuego.
So he's been pretty good. Even though he was kind of hurt this last week and only played, I think, 20 snaps. So hopefully he's a little healthier this week and goes against Green Bay and can kind of get some points for me. But I really like the combo of McCoy and Hunt. I knew all season long that McCoy was going to have a nice playoff stretch. We'll see what happens with Breeze. Breeze has kind of been annoying in the fact that, he's such a good player and he's got so many good weapons around him. But his floor is, it's probably about 15 points and his ceiling's probably been about 19. So he's been a pretty stable quarterback for me. He hasn't, ever gone really, I think, over 22. So that's been kind of, aggravating this year. But can't complain. You got McCoy, Hunt, Baldwin, Mike Evans, and Fitzgerald. So, those 3 wide receivers are target monsters. Fitzgerald has gotten, I think, 8 games where he's gotten 10 targets or more. So he's been pretty solid, and he's going against the Giants. So that'll be a great matchup. Baldwin's going against Dallas, and Dallas has been terrible against the pass. So hoping for that to be a kind of a shootout. I think I just have a overall better roster. In the starters at least. Jags defense, hopefully, they can shut down that run game and force Garoppolo to do a lot of mistakes. I think he's gotten an interception, each game, and they've been bad teams. So hopefully you can force him into some mistakes because he's only got Marquise Goodwin and, his other playmakers are Garrett Celek and other trash. So I feel pretty good, but it's still, it's not like I'm going to be playing like a terrible team. It's Jordan. Jordan's got a great team. So I think it's going to be really fun. We'll see what's going on with the matchups. But I feel pretty confident in my team. And McCoy and Hunt will probably go off for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one for sure. And now the ultimate question. Who do you guys have in the toilet bowl between Scott and Duncan?
Let me pull this up here. Go ahead, Fronik.
I would I would go with Scott. Scott's got the number one running back in Gurley and the number two wide receiver in Hopkins, who have both been matchup proof. At multiple points during the season, I kept on trying to trade Scott for one of those two players. But I usually, you know, looking at their schedule and just kind of seeing, you know, okay, he's down to like his third best quarterback on their roster. I'm not going to go for Hopkins. I'm not going to trade just because wasn't very dependable, but he's been nothing but dependable this year. I mean, I think he's got 8.9 is his lowest output. And other than that, he's been above like 11 or 12. So
jeez.
He's just the production we've seen from Hopkins has been just unreal. He leads the league in targets. Gurley is, I mean, enough said, he's got 17 touchdowns on the year. So I don't know. Just add those two on a team, and you're going to be dunking any day.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins are good players. I can confirm. Sources say those guys are good fantasy options this week and every week. That being said, I think I'm going to get crazy, and I think I'm going to pick Duncan. I mean, Scott's got, again, he's got Gurley and Hopkins, but I think beyond that, his team doesn't look very good at all. They all have pretty tough matchups, too, is the funny thing. You know, Scott's been relying on Marquise Goodwin being a pretty good player, and he's going against Jacksonville, whereas Duncan on the other side, of course, he doesn't have the star power, and I don't feel good about picking him, but, you know, that's the point, is you don't feel good about picking any of these teams. I think Duncan having Tom Brady over Derek Carr is going to be a serious point difference. Brady at home against Buffalo, I think they you know, win this one and get closer to clinching up the one seed. And Duncan, again, his roster's not good. It's not even close to good. But you talk about, you know, Juju might be a player that goes toe-for-toe with DeAndre Hopkins in fantasy this week, just based off of the fact that they are playing each other, actually. You know, Antonio Brown being out, I think Juju has a big week. So I'm going to get crazy and pick Scott. Pick Duncan. As long as Duncan picks up a different defense than the Titans against the Rams. I don't know. I kind of like his roster as a whole a tiny bit more. So I'm just going to bet that Gurley and Hopkins don't carry Scott this week. Half of that is based off the fact, too. I know we've talked a lot about stand-up and stuff, but I want to see Scott do stand-up. And here's why. Like, dude, come on. We all want to see Scott do stand-up, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So here's the thing. Is the reason I want to see Scott do stand-up is I think with Duncan, we know what we're going to get. We've mentioned this before. I think Duncan would do a good job, for sure. But I think we already kind of know that going in. You know, Duncan would probably do something musical. We've talked about he's got the stage presence. I think out of every person in the league, we like know what we would get with Duncan the most. And I think he would do a solid job, for sure. The reason I want Scott is because Scott's going to either be the absolute funniest possible out of everybody in the league or an absolute nightmare. I mean, it could be such a disaster with Scott up there, too. So, I mean, it's just going to be amazing. There will be no in between. We're not going to go away saying, "Oh, Scott, you did okay, man. That was okay." It's going to be like we're either going to fall off of our chairs laughing, or we're going to get out of our chairs and walk out of the club because it's such a disaster and we can't handle the secondhand embarrassment. But
The more you keep talking about the stand-up, the more I realize that I also really want to see Scott do it, because I just feel like Scott being up like on stage, I just have a vision of him from like that snap I saved where it's like, "Help me," and he's holding a beer, but instead it's a microphone, and he's just got this panicked look on his face like, and he's trying to make jokes, and then he's making ones that he thinks are hilarious, and like he starts laughing. Like, oh, that would be incredible.
But what's the over under on like the amount of pet jokes that he has in there? Probably like
plenty.
Oh yeah.
Seven?
Yeah, I'd take the over. I talked
to Scott. Well, I talked to both Scott and Duncan this week, and
I was up in Seattle talking to Duncan. I chatted with Scott on the phone for a couple minutes, and they both don't want to do stand-up, but Scott really doesn't want to do stand-up. And that's incredible. I just want him to be up there so bad, dude. He's just like, I just want to see it so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm picking Duncan because I'm rooting for Duncan to win this. The volatility with Scott on stage is going to be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that on the volatility and just Scott being Scott and just making it a disaster, but also being funny at the same time. But, I mean, what are we putting the minute limit on this, like, stand-up? Like, 15 minutes?
I think
minutes
generally it's like 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But it will be the longest 3 to 5 minutes of your life, for sure.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right, thanks, guys, for coming on, for doing this on a Tuesday. I really appreciate it. Best of luck in your matchup. It's a big one. There's a lot on the line. Thanks to everybody who sent
hold
in.
Rick, all, Rick, hold on, hold on, hold on.
I was in the middle of my spiel.
I know, but...
I want to say something, though, too.
I know that this is the last spiel, but, like, let's just hold off for a second. Did you even have me and Fronik pick who we actually think is going to win? We gave our reasons for both sides, but, like, we never picked.
I mean, you guys aren't...
And you never picked, dude.
I figured you guys both aren't as pessimistic as I am and would just pick against yourself, so I'm assuming you're both going to pick yourself to win?
Dude, just let us pick.
All right, Jordan, who do you think's going to win?
So, because here's the thing, is I think based off of the theme song of the podcast, my identity in the league is overly confident guy in my team, even though when I don't have a good team. You know, you play that clip every time on the show of me predicting undefeated season. So that's my identity in the league, but I'm going to go against my identity, and I think Fronik's going to beat me this week. I got a little lucky against you last week, Rick, to be sure. So... I think there's a good chance I lose this game, but I'm really excited still to be in it.
All right, Fronik, what is your official pick then?
Well, before we get to that, I just wanted to have a couple tips for fantasy football. Not to say that I'm an expert or anything, but I just want everyone to know, of the 16 players that I have on my current roster, only 6 of them I drafted. So... don't try and, you know, keep every player that you have, you know,
Mike,
you know, and then I turned Hunt and Evans and I turned a bunch of players that I had picked up or drafted late and turned them into Hunt and Evans. So just remember, you know, you can always move pieces at the right time. Just kind of move players in and out of your roster and kind of see what you can do.
What's your pick, man?
Are you inspired?
I'm not inspired, no. I'm still thinking about my loss, and I'm really upset about it.
Oh, I mean, probably think about the draft, though. I was probably, voted probably the 9th best team?
I didn't do that poll, and nobody kept track of the actual votes, so.
No, I didn't draft.
You were 7.5.
Yeah, I didn't. I was probably going to get 6 or 7 wins, like, every year, so. Anyway, I'm going to go with myself. Just because Jaguars,
be nice and pick me like I picked
Jaguars
you.
Defense are going to carry me to the ship.
Fuck you, Scott.
I can agree with that.
All right, now can I do my spiel?
No.
Go ahead, Rick. Are you just going to end it after this, or
do we get to say stuff afterwards?
No, like, this is going to be the end, guys. This is going
to
be the end.
Okay.
We don't want to say goodbye, though, to fantasy football.
I'm hungry!
Okay, but it's only 7:30.
I just wanted to say thank you for another good year of podcasting. It was very fun, and I'm extremely sad that it's going away, because I thought it was a ton of fun this year.
Oh, which actually brings me to my next point. I already talked to Luke about this. Rick, what is your favorite type of alcohol? Because I think we enjoy this podcast a lot more than you do every week, and you put in so much crap into, like, the actual podcast, like a bunch of, you know, behind the scenes crap that we probably don't ever have to deal with ever, because, well, we don't want to, but you know, we enjoy probably the 2 hours of our Wednesday night or Thursday morning every week, at least I do. Listening to the podcast. Wanted to thank you for doing the podcast for like 3 months straight. I know it's probably shitty having to deal with, you know, getting Scott to speak or shutting up Jordan or
shutting you up as well.
Shutting me up and saying dumb shit every like 3 seconds. Yeah, I know. So what's your favorite type of liquor? I know, you know, we're probably going to go all in on it, or I'm just going to buy it myself.
I'm a whiskey guy, so whiskey is fine. I am
what type of whiskey?
I'm a big fan of Black Velvet, but that's because I'm cheap and I don't want to pay for whiskey.
Rick,
so
well, you're not paying for it.
I know, but
let's go with some high shelf shit. You know,
yeah,
you deserve the high shelf shit.
Crown or Jack, I guess, if you guys are going to...
That's not high shelf. Dude, let's go for the high shelf shit. Okay.
I don't know. I don't look any higher than, like, second bottom. Like, that's, like, kind of my range.
Like the 15
I don't
bucks?
Just... If you got... Whiskey is fine. Pick a whiskey. Thank you guys so much for listening to the pod every week, because I don't listen to it because I host it the whole time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
I appreciate your kind words. I know other people, I'm sure, feel the same way, and they're going to be sad when the pod is gone as well for another...
8-9 months.
8-9 months. So no one have sex to this podcast, because then you'll have a podcast baby coming around in August. And also, you'd be having sex and making a baby in my voice. And you definitely don't want to do that.
Explain the mechanics by it, like you said.
Pod baby. Let's get it going.
It'd be a pod baby if you had one in August. So don't do that. Or September. I don't know how.
What does that even mean?
I think you did. Best of luck to you guys in your matchup. Thank you for being a part of the pod this year, and good luck in the in your championship game, guys.
Thank you,
Rick.